Pentecost was the day when God's Holy Spirit was poured out in a very dramatic and miraculous way on that first day of Pentecost. It also pictures the spiritual first fruits of God. And that's what you and I hope to be. And as we seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, we are known by our fruit, the fruit that we produce. And that fruit comes from the power of God's Holy Spirit. Let me read to you Acts 1:8. It was addressed to us this morning because the Holy Spirit is of power. In the first sermonette, God's love is power. The power of God is love. But Acts 1:8, but you shall receive power. Jesus Christ says, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be a witness to me in Jerusalem. So the disciples had a commission. We have that commission as well. We have different roles in the church from the ministry on down. But he says, you must be a witness to me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Now, if you got the letter this week from the Home Office, it was written by Len Martin. And in paragraph 5, he describes this witness as who we are. It's who we are. How can you witness something that you're not really of? See the world witnessing God, Jesus Christ. But what are they witnessing? He goes on to say, our lives, our values, our morals, our standards are different from those in the world. We are to be living examples of who God is. Let's turn over to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Because we must be doing a work, right? We must be doing a work. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8, the writer here says, for by grace or by favor, God's favors, to help us to know him and what his will is, right? You have been saved. Well, have been saved is mistranslated. It should say you are being saved, right? It's a process. You know, we are working, and if we turn back from the plow, we're going to go back into the world, we're not fit for the kingdom of heaven. So it's a process of being saved. How? Through faith, and not of yourselves. It's not of ourselves. We can't do this on our own. It is the gift of God. It's a gift. It's not of works. We can't do this without this gift, without him, without his son, lest anyone should boast, because we can't boast. Look what I've done, God. Look what I've done this, I've done this, I've done this, I've done this. And he says, oh, we're trying to get into the kingdom. He says, no, you practice lawlessness. You can't get in by your works. For what you're saying you did. But what does it continue to say here? Lest anyone should boast, but we are his workmanship. How? Created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which Christ prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. We are to walk in Christ, as we heard in the sermon this morning. To be like him. And we can't do that on our own. We must be given power, as we just read in Acts 1, verse 8. Today, let's look at the fruit of the Holy Spirit. In Galatians 5, 22, if you'd like to turn over there, and also 23. And we'll see how that fruit is to be used in our everyday lives. It's been touched on. It's been talked about today. But I want to look at it, if I could call it a practical application. It involves God's Holy Spirit. It involves his calling. It involves responding to that calling. But so the practical application from that aspect of God living in us, his workmanship in us, showing us what we need to do, and with his help, shows us what we need to do. We're in the process of being saved. We become like him. We put that power to work. So the practical application of God's Holy Spirit at work in you, which is the power of God. And also in that sermonette this morning, what God said it and it happens. He created this whole universe, power. We sing about it today as well. In Galatians 5:22, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit, it's not fruits, it's the fruit. It's the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. So this is the law of God. It's Christ living in us. It's God the Father living in us. It's through the power of their Holy Spirit, which was talked about this morning and in this afternoon. Fruit. But the fruit, what is fruit? I'm going to give you the definition from the Greek. Fruit is, it's harvest, the ingathering of crops from the physical standpoint. Metaphorically, it's that which originates or comes from something. It's either an effect, a result, a work, an act, or a deed. So when you harvest fruit, it's ripe. It's ripe. God wants fruit ripe for the harvest in you and in me. That takes power, not our power, but the power of God. And we know that there's the parable of the wheat and the tares. Not everyone responds to this calling, because it's not once called, always once called, saved, always saved. No, we have to be doing a work. So here, this is the fruit of the Spirit. It's love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Now, we look at these, and I think we understand these. I'm going to go into a little bit more in depth what they are into the practical application. And if I don't go through them all, I'm going to stop. Okay, my hope is to go through them all. Some I got a little bit more to talk about. Some not as much. It's pretty explanatory. But you'll be able to build on this. Okay? Now, God wants his character built in us. When we read the fruit of the Spirit, this is God's character. This is who he is. And as we heard earlier, he wants us to be like him. When we see Christ to be like him, he's like the Father. So who's able to develop these character traits? Is it just anyone in the world? No. John 6:44. No one can come to me, Jesus Christ said, unless the Father draws him. There's a calling, and he must respond to that calling. You know, there's the God of this age, 2 Corinthians 4:4, who's blinded those who will not respond to that calling, or those who may not be called yet. And we also have heard in the sermonette just before me, John 14:15, if you love me, keep my commandments. And if you're keeping my commandments, right, we have the commandments, the letter of the law. Keeping those commandments, the Sabbath, the holy days, the tithing. You know, we're not keeping the pagan holidays. We're not involved in the politics and the involvement when we know Scripture tells us that God places people in their positions for his will to be done. And when we do that, we're keeping his commandments. Then he says, verse 16, and then I will pray to the Father at that point, and he will give you another helper. And that it may abide with you forever. Because God wants it to abide with us forever. He doesn't want us to give it up. So the Holy Spirit is a gift from God. And the fruit that is produced through the Holy Spirit is a gift from God. Now, I was reminded yesterday at the sermonette in Phoenix East. The statement was, you know, because we talk about many people, you know, many people. There could be people out there with God's Holy Spirit here and there and other religions. You know, God may be working with people. We all came out of the world. We all came out of the world. We were all involved, most of us, in some type of religion, right? So we have to be called out of that. But until people are called and they respond to it, and it's like, as we heard in the sermon, Acts 2, we hear the word. Oh, that's right. God's working with us. We respond. We make these changes. We stop sinning. We stop practicing sin. We seek repentance, and we put it into practice, all right? We stop keeping the pagan holidays. We implement the holy days, right? When people get that calling and they start responding like that, oh, keep on going, keep on going, keep on going. All right, yeah, gift of repentance. The goodness of God is repentance. Keep working on that. Oh, yeah. Then it's like, okay, I need help. I need my sins forgiven. I need help. I need the Holy Spirit. Oh, that's when God gives the Holy Spirit, when we go through this process. He doesn't do it before that. Let's look at this first. Fruit, love. As we heard in this morning, it's agape. It already has been described, but it's the divine nature of God. It's love. He is love. God is power and his agency, who he is of power. It's the highest power of love there is. Without God opening our minds to know this love, we wouldn't be able to understand it, nor would we be able to implement it into our lives. Brethren, it's power. God says, I'm going to give you power. Let's remember that. Let's think about that as we go through the message. Let's turn over to John chapter 14. So what is this love? Okay, what's Jesus Christ talking about? And what do we need to be doing as for the practical application in our lives through the power of the Holy Spirit? I'm just adding to what has been already spoken of, but hopefully I can hit home and understand that it's the power of God living in us and that we need to be putting it into practice. Jesus, God the Father, sacrificed for it. He gave us his son, and Jesus Christ was willing to be that sacrifice so that we could receive this power and put it into practice. Start over in John 14. John 14, you know, in verse 1 he says, let not your heart be troubled. Our hearts can be troubled. Look at society today, all the problems going on. The possibility of being persecuted. You know, all other people are being persecuted for their beliefs that are contrary to what they believe, deciding for themselves what's right and wrong. Well, that will come to the body of Christ at some point. He says, don't let your heart be troubled. Don't be stressed. Now, sometimes we don't know when we're stressed. Oh, I didn't know I was stressed. I didn't think I was stressed. But we find out we were stressed. Go to the doctor. He says, you're under a lot of stress. God's Spirit is power. Power to get rid of that stress. But we must be putting his power into practice. He says, you believe in God, believe also in me. He says, in my Father's house there are many mansions, and I want to make a home there. I want to bring a family, and I want you to be first fruits, to be the bride, his bride. And let's drop down to verse 6. He says, I do not speak on my own authority. It's not my authority. But the Father who dwells in me does the works. The work that Jesus Christ does is done by the works of the Father in him. And look at the works that Jesus Christ was able to do. That's power. God created all things through him. The Father dwelt with Jesus Christ. Let's drop down here to verse 12. And Jesus Christ says, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes on me, hears my words, and puts them into practice. The works that I do, he will do also. You and I. And greater than these he will do. Greater than what Jesus Christ did. We do greater. What? How can that be? Well, let me explain here in just a minute. Why? Because I go to my Father. What is he going to the Father for? To be accepted. Once he's accepted, you know, then the Holy Spirit is given. As we continue here, it says, and whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. So whatever you ask that's going to glorify God through Jesus Christ, God says he will do. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Keep your finger here. John 15, verse 7. If you abide in me, and as you're here, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit through the Holy Spirit, so that you will be my disciples. God wants us to bear fruit, a work being done in him. So let's go back here, verse 15, we're still in chapter 14. If you love me, keep my commandments. So we have to keep his commandments. And the bar is raised for us. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. That's the greater works that Jesus Christ is talking about. Christ couldn't do that on the earth. He was the only one who had the Holy Spirit. Greater works than these you will do, because the body will put it together. And they will love one another, so that the whole world will know how that happened and who gets the glory for that. And it's through the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ says, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that it may abide with you forever. That's our calling, brethren. To use this power, to put it into practice. I want to go back to John 15. Oh, well, let me just skip that. Well, let me go back. Let's go John 15. Let's read verse 9. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. Take this love that I have, that the Father has given me, the works that I'm able to do because of him. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I'm going to come back and read verse 11, but verse 12. This is my commandment, that you love one another. How? As I loved you. I mean, we hear this. Love, love. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. If we do whatever Christ commands. We have to ask that question amongst ourselves. When we hear God's word, and it's revealed to us, you know, whether it's in a sermon, whether it's in an epistle, a letter, maybe we don't understand it. But it's God's word. What do we do with it? Well, if we ignore it, we don't put it into practice, guess what? We can't do these great works. We're throwing the gift of God to the side. His power can't be worked with in us. Jesus Christ did everything that the Father asked, and he gave the Father the credit. He never took the credit. We just read that. Love one another is what we need to be practicing on. And we have all kinds of scriptures that tell us how to do that. And we need God's help, as we read in Ephesians. And as Jesus Christ says, hey, I couldn't do this without the Father living in me. I have to do everything he asks. Is that our mindset? Do we want to put that power into practice? Second fruit is joy. Love involves having joy. These all go together. These all go together. You can't have one without the other. They all go together. Joy in the Greek is joy, gladness, cheerfulness, calm, delight. It can be exceedingly very much joy. Exceedingly, exceeding joy. Since we're in John 15, I said I wasn't going to read verse 11 yet. Christ tells us that we are to have this joy. John 15, verse 11. These things I've spoken to you that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. He's saying the joy is gladness, cheerfulness, calm, delight, and it can be an exceeding joy. Hebrews 12, 2. What powered Jesus Christ to be able to endure the cross, the suffering, and the death? It was joy. Hebrews 12, verse 2, he says, looking, and we're encouraged by Paul, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. That's our faith. Who for the joy that was set before him. Joy, gladness, cheerfulness, calm, delight. Right? Exceeding joy. Joy was set before him. He endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. What? What do you do when you go through your trials? What do I do when I go through my trials? His focus was on the joy of salvation for his creation. That powered him through the pain and the suffering. That's power. That's power. And he went through these things to pass along his joy, that joy can be fulfilled in us through the most difficult of tribulations. We have joy. We have cheerfulness, calm, delight. Even though the pain, the suffering, what he went through, no man ever went through anything like that. But it was the joy of salvation for us, for all mankind. Do we have that for each other? Are we praying for each other? That no matter what we go through, we know the ultimate end result of salvation. And Jesus Christ went through the most horrific suffering and death. He made it through that because he loved you and me and the world. And he expects us to have that same love. People spitting on him, pounding the thorns on his head, ripping the flesh off his body, murdering him. Father, forgive them. He loved. Salvation. Eventually, Satan won't be around. He's looking at the end result. He knows why he came. And we should know what we need to be doing. We need to have love and we need to have joy. We need to put it into practice, understand the plan of salvation, and put it into our lives. That may give us a new thinking on, not going to turn there, James chapter 1. Count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Oh, this is nothing. But the power of God, yeah, it's hurtful, whatever, but I can be calm, I can be joyous, doesn't matter, I'm learning, I'm growing. I'm suffering with Christ. I know that Satan is involved in this world and he's the one doing these things. But you know what? Through these suffering, these trials, we persevere, we endure, and we grow in the power of God's Holy Spirit. If we endure with him, we'll also reign with him. But if we deny him, he's going to deny us. We need his help. We need to get on our knees, pray to God, and ask for that power to be in us. The next one we have is peace. Peace is the next fruit of the Holy Spirit. And this peace in the Greek is talking about peace between individuals, harmony and unity. That's with those who have God's Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ didn't have the harmony and unity when he was by himself. But the body of Christ can show harmony and unity with one another. John 14, since we're here, I know we're in Galatians, but I'm going to stay in John a couple more times. John 14, regarding peace. We can have peace through Jesus Christ. John 14, verse 25. These things I spoke to you while being present with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, it will teach you all things and bring to you remembrance, all things that I've said to you. So it helps us to remember the Word of God. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Don't be troubled and don't be afraid. We can get on our knees and ask God, I'm going through a difficulty here. I'm troubled and I'm afraid. Hey, cast all your cares upon him. Cast all your anxieties on him. Why? Because he cares for you. He cares for us. He'll take care of us. That's power. Don't ignore it. Ask God for help. Ask, seek, and knock. I'm the way, the truth, and the life, Jesus Christ says. It just goes on through these processes. Let me jump down to long-suffering. Greek meaning patience, endurance, consistency. Consistency is the quality of being faithful and dependable. Jesus Christ was consistent. It also means steadfastness, which is the quality of being resolute or firm and unwavering. That was Jesus Christ. We are to have the same power. Perseverance, which is persistence in doing something despite difficulty or delay in achieving success. Our success isn't in this lifetime, as far as receiving eternal life. But God wants us to have long suffering, no matter what we're going through. Sometimes we can get edgy. God doesn't want us to get edgy. He wants us to have tender mercies and affections for others, to pray for one another, to pray, to care when we get into these troubles. This is what powers us through our trials, our stresses. Christ says, or Peter says, let me read you this scripture in 2 Peter 3:15. He says, and consider that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation. I'll read that to you again. 2 Peter 3:15. And consider that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation. What's the definition of long-suffering again? Patience, endurance, consistency, the quality of being faithful and dependable, steadfastness, the quality of being resolute or firm and unwavering. Persevering, persistence in doing something despite difficulty or delay in achieving success. It's doing the will of God. It's having that mindset. It's internalizing it. It's putting it into practice. The next fruit, and I know I'm going through these quickly, but these are things that you can build on, you can focus on, and work on and applying, and myself as well, to allow God to be living in us. Let's not kick him out. As we hear his word, let's put it into practice. Let's not delay. If we do, we're not going to have that power. We're just going to be spinning and spinning and spinning and going nowhere. God is feeding us today. The whole day. I'm thankful for all of you. I've been praying for all of you. I want you in God's kingdom. I want to be there with you. We need to be there. We're going to be going through some rough times. Could be soon. Not doing any predictions. Are we ready? We won't be if we're not committed, if we're not using the power of God's Holy Spirit. Kindness is the next one. And this is just kindness or tolerance towards others. Acts of kindness. Sometimes that's difficult. What do we got to do? Get in our knees and pray and ask God for help. We got to do it. We got to put it into practice. I know someone in this room struggling financially, struggling with trials, difficulties, still serving people that need help. Not focused on themselves. You won't know that of this individual unless you're seeking, unless you're visiting that person. That should be all of us. What we go through is we're focused on salvation for all mankind, what God wants to give us. He died for us, but we're just going to brush others off. We are a living sacrifice, as Len Martin said in his letter addressed to us this week. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, which is gentleness and long-suffering. We put it into practice. Jesus Christ did. The apostles did when they received the Holy Spirit. They were murdered for it. They weren't murdered for keeping the Sabbath. They weren't murdered for keeping the holy days. They weren't murdered for not eating unclean meats. What they were murdered for, people didn't want to change. They wanted to change their nature. They wanted to hold on to who they were. Just like at the world today, do you think that we're going to tell them? Someone gave an address. Valedictorian commencement address to his peers this week, and maybe you heard about it. He said, marriage is between a man and a woman. And you know the comments they had on the side? People's mouths dropped. What is this person saying? Can you believe that? God has put a hedge around us right now. And as Mr. McKean was saying earlier, are we afraid? If we deny God, he's going to deny us. No, we stand firm. It may come to that point where we get pushed and pushed and pushed, and then we have to speak out, or some organization, someone, the body of Christ, those who God inspires to stand up and tells the nation the Ezekiel 37 message, their sins, which they will not want to hear. And that message goes out to the body of Christ. Tells us our sins. As we heard in the opening prayer today. Be great one day we don't have to have that struggle anymore. Of the pulls of Satan. And the wrestling and the fighting. But that's what we do now. And we must continue at it. I wrestled when I was younger. I don't know if I ever won a match. And my mom and dad got me into all kinds of activities. But what I do remember about wrestling, it was very tiring. You know, my mom, you know, with a wrestler, you're supposed to watch your diet. Well, and back then I wasn't in the church yet. It was Saturday. And you know what? You're supposed to watch your weight so you can make that weight. You want to get to that level of weight where you're not going too high up, where you get the bigger people, right? What does my mom do that morning? She cooks me breakfast, and she says, you're going to eat. Well, guess what? I went to a higher weight class that morning, and that match lasted 30 seconds. But you know what? I still got tired. I was like, no, you're not going to pin me. But you know what? It's a fight. We can get worn out. We ask God for help. Goodness. Goodness is the next fruit of the Spirit. It's talking about uprightness of heart and life, goodness and kindness. Paul says in 2 Thessalonians 1:11, I just want to read it to you. It says, therefore we also pray always for you. Always for you. Now, Paul corrected his churches. He corrected people. He never gave up on them. As we heard in the sermonette this afternoon, be a Barnabas. Don't give up on anyone. Sometimes we can think, that person, we don't know what's going on in their mind. They need some encouragement. Maybe they hurt us. Doesn't matter. Turn the other cheek. Maybe they hurt us again. Doesn't matter. Turn the other cheek. Jesus Christ did. The goodness of God leads us to repentance. When we're good to others, God continues to lead us to repentance. That's a gift. That's power. He wants us to put into practice. Next one, faithfulness. This is a big one, but I am going to keep it small. And Philemon, let me give you the Greek definition, because here of the fruit of the Spirit and faithfulness, it's fidelity. It's faithful or being loyal. Faithfulness. The character of one who can be relied on. Can you and I be relied on before God? Jesus Christ was. Jesus Christ says, greater works than these you will do, because you'll do this in courage, and you'll do this with each other. He also, on Philemon, verse 4, one chapter there, says, I thank my God, making mention of you always in my prayers, hearing of your love and faith. That's encouraging. God loves that. Which you have toward the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints. Brethren, we are to stand out to the world. No divisions. If we have a temporary one, we need to fix it. We have the power of God's Holy Spirit, and it's required of us to put it into practice. It's power. Through him, he can do it. We just got to be determined. We just got to be determined. When we're crucified with Christ, as Mr. McKeon said this morning, we serve him. We made a commitment. How good are you at keeping your commitment? How good am I at keeping my commitment? How good are you and I keeping our commitment with our mates, with our employer? How good is our word? We were baptized. We accepted Jesus Christ as our king now. Yes, he's coming soon, and he'll be our king in reality. Hopefully the bride of Christ. That's what we hope and desire and pray for each other. It's no longer I. That Paul says, I who live, but Christ lives in me. Are we allowing Christ to live in us so the power of the Holy Spirit is evident in us? There will be some, and I hope it's all of you, when the persecution begins to happen. Things are excelling out there. I don't know the timing. But I'm just looking for the day when my business is shut down because they know what I believe. Or they'll be boycotting it. I won't be able to stay open. I'll lose everything. If that happens, what about you? Talks about some of us being kicked out of the synagogues. They'll shut us down. Talks about in Scripture that even the elect could be deceived. Because there's so many religions, so many people talking. Oh, this is that, this is. We must be using God's Holy Spirit. We must be hearing to his word, putting it into practice. Fasting, asking for his guidance, his direction. Fighting for it, encouraging one another. Put it into practice. And do it day by day. And don't worry about tomorrow. There's enough to worry about tomorrow. Work on today.
Encourage each other. Help each other. And God will help us if we get on our knees. He will. He will. I asked to be humbled one time. Guess what? I was studying. I think Mr. Roy Holiday, a sermon on humility. But I'll tell you what. He humbled me. There was a time Mr. Elliot years ago told me that, you know, you asked me if I'd be willing to speak. He says, you know what, First of all, I'm not a speaker, and I need to be living what I teach, and I'm not living it. And time went on. Eventually, started speaking. But time went on. So, this is when I asked to be humbled. Because I was like, I need to get rid of this being so pompous. I need to be growing in your word, God, and I know it starts with humility. Oh, your name has been put up to be an elder. Oh, it's just formality. Everyone gets approved. Oh, except for this one guy this one time. He told me how bad he was. Well, guess what? Came back one day. I was working in San Francisco, working nights, moving out this office furniture. I got a phone call from John Elliott. He didn't get approved. And what do you think went through my mind? Oh, everyone gets approved. Except for this one person that was so horrible. Right? I got on my knees. I went into the closet. And I asked God to comfort me. Not that I wanted to be a minister. It's like, I just don't want to be rejected by you. And I don't want to feel bad because, you're helping me. I want to grow. Just don't reject me. I'll do whatever you want. All right? And in time, you know, what was there, they saw, it was fine. God worked it out. I needed to be humbled. I needed the humility if I was going to fill this role. John Elliott, I'm not going to speak because I'm not living it. Right? We need to be living God's word, or how can we teach it? I have to continue working with that. We all do. We all do. I don't think I spoke on gentleness. I'm going to pass on gentleness. I don't think I spoke on self-control, gentleness or meekness. And I'm not going to speak on self-control or temperance. I didn't get through two of them. All right? But I'm just going to tell you with gentleness. Gentleness and meekness is gentleness by implication, humility and meekness. And the other one, the last one, self-control or temperance, it's the virtue of one who masters his desires and passions, the sensual appetites. We are not allowing ourselves to be led away from the truth by a world of material desires or the sensual appetites in which lust, greed, and ambition are the driving forces. Those of God do not let the lusts of the flesh that are contrary to the spiritual laws get in the way. Mr. McKeon had 5 C's. I have 1. Conclusion. So the fruit of the Spirit, if you look at it, the fruit of the Spirit is the 2 great commandments. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets fall on these 2 things. God is love, and he expects us to be love, to love him by obeying him and loving one another. And he helps us to do that. Can't do that on our own. We won't be able to brag about it because it's impossible to do. We need the power of God's Holy Spirit. You know, we can go to the model prayer, and it says, you know, you go into the middle of it, it says, give us this day our daily bread. Look at it from this aspect. Jesus Christ said during the Passover season, don't seek the physical. Seek the living bread. I am the living bread. Feed on me so that I can live in you. And through that process, we go before God and say, hey, forgive me of my debts or forgive me of my sins as I forgive others. Right? I want to be forgiven as I forgive others. That's what the model prayer is. And we can do that with Jesus Christ living in us. He says, lead us not into temptation. Lead us not into temptation. Satan is the one who tempts. But we have the mind that strays. Lead us not into that. Pull us back. It says, but deliver us from the evil one. Deliver us from Satan. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. The power that he wants to give us, that we need to be implementing into our lives today. Cast all your cares upon him. We have anxieties. We have stresses. How can I do this? We can't on our own. But he says, cast all your cares, cast all your anxieties on him. Why? Because he cares for us. That's 1 Peter 5:7. God expects his power to be put into practice in us. These are the great works that God is wanting to develop in us. So let's share his love with one another. It's his great gift. The fruit of the Spirit is power. It's God's character being developed in us. And God sacrificed for this. And his son was willing to die for this. Not just anyone can put on Christ. It's those who he calls. And it's those who respond to that calling. Because there are many counterfeits. And let's not let Satan take advantage of us and deceive us. We need to come out of the world. We need to be allowing him to work in us by putting on his character, which is his power, so that we can be harvested as the first fruits of God.